Hello everyone and welcome. Today is August the 7th, 2019 and this is our Whole Life Healing Program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Tan. I'm going to be assisting Alex today in this call. Before we bring Alex out to share his spiritual law of nature, I want to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only, and since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Tan. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And we'd love to also share this quote with you each week. We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but can never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel. And that was a quote by Dr. Oz back in November 2007. And the reason we like to bring it up is that the purpose of these calls is to provide current and relevant information on the subject of energy medicine from a variety of perspectives, including a medical, scientific, and mostly spiritual perspective. All right, so we're going to bring Alex now out, and he's going to share. The topic today is happiness. Alex?
Thank you so much, Johanna, and thank you, everyone, wherever you are in the world and whenever you're listening to this. We are honored that you would give us a few minutes of your time. We've been doing this program for about 14 years now. We wanted to do something that was completely, totally free, where we were not trying to get money from you or anything else, something to just try to help. And we've been doing it ever since. So if we can do it better, let us know. What we hope happens with you listening to this program today is that it will give you a little boost in your week. It'll give you a little something to chew on and think about, maybe that you haven't thought about or haven't thought about it that way or haven't thought about it in a long time. A little something to challenge you this week, and something to apply to your life to make this week just a little better, and maybe every once in a while your life a little better. So please let us know how we're doing on that. Today is about as basic to the human condition as you can get, although the answer to it is not basic at all. In fact, hardly anybody says it, even if they know it. Most people don't know it. And even people who do know it, even fewer of them are able to live it. And that is true happiness. Now, I say true happiness because there's different types of happiness, and it depends on your definition, okay? But probably for the last 75 years, when people are polled about what they want most, and that's it, okay, open-ended, what do you want most? If they have a really serious health problem, they're more likely to say that. If they have some other, like, life or death emergency trauma going on, they're likely to say that first. But if people don't have any big, huge emergency going on in their life, far and away, the biggest answer is happiness. I want to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. I want my family to be happy. And that's been pretty consistent through the years. Now, the thing that's crazy is that I think it was about 2 years ago, I saw a brand new study where they were looking at countries all over the world to see who are the happiest people on the planet. And this particular study, their conclusion was absolutely shocking. And it made headline news, and it even made a lot of those pseudo-news shows who aren't really showing hard news. They're showing more things that they think people will be interested in. Okay, that's cool. That's different, all right? And the reason was what the study found is that the happiest people in the world were in Ethiopia. At that time, probably, the poorest, most deprived country on planet Earth, where many people don't know where their next meal is coming from, that they don't have, you know, the idea of a great house is, I mean, that would never even cross their mind. It's some shelter at all today and tomorrow and for my children and for my new baby. And every day is sort of a struggle for survival. So why in the world would those people be the happiest in the world when people in the United States and Germany and other, you know, Japan, China, think about that, you know, if they were to be living like those people in Ethiopia, we think, man, I'd be miserable in that situation. I am so much happier where I live now. Guess what? It ain't so. All right? They really are extremely happy. Well, how can that be? Because they are forced by their current circumstances to prioritize the thing that is most important, which is relationships. When you don't know where your meals are coming from, when you don't know if you're going to have food for your kids, when you don't know if you're going to be able to be in shelter from the storm or the extreme heat or the animals or whatever it is, your compass, your internal priority compass shifts to people that you love and care about and the people that love and care about you. That is the reason. They're the happiest. But don't hang up, because we're just getting started and this is a crucial, crucial area. And if you can flip the switch after we visit today, as you pray and meditate about this week, from sort of a pseudo or what I might even call a fake happiness to a true happiness, let me just promise you, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, every year the rest of your life, as long as you are doing that, it's going to be much, much better, and you're going to be happier and happier and happier. But it's a paradoxical truth. So let me try to explain it over the next few minutes and then give it to you to try out and let us know how it goes. Wonderful article came out recently. It was in the magazine Periodical Inc., I-N-C, period. And this one was by Matthew Jones. And the title of the article is 11 Billion Reasons the Self-Help Industry Doesn't Want You to Know the Truth About Happiness. And then the byline, and I absolutely love this, the byline is, hint, unhappy people buy things. All right, let me read just a little bit more, and then I'll get off of this. But this is the best article I've ever seen on this. Most Americans are, I'm reading now, but I'm not going to read much. Most Americans are unhappy. Despite the abundance of material wealth, the idealism of democratic values, and flashy new iPhones, most people are suffering. And the brutal truth is that several industries, including psychology, self-help, even some kinds of medicine, are profiting off the emotional pain of people seeking quick fixes. They're trying to buy your happiness one book or one pill at a time. People are brainwashed into thinking that reading these kind of books or taking meditation can evaporate their problems and help them find the happiness that they so desire. And the reason for the 11 billion reasons is that's what the self-help industry, and this study was done a few years ago, so it's more than that now, $11 billion each year on these type of books, motivational programs, et cetera, which virtually all fail. And that is my research as well. And I wrote about it in the Love Code that there's a 97% failure rate with these type of programs, okay? So we know what's most important, and we keep trying what the experts say will do it, but it doesn't do it. How could that be? Because they're wrong. What they're telling you will lead to happiness doesn't. In fact, it usually leads to a lack or even the opposite of happiness. Let me illustrate. I have a very good friend who is a wonderful, wonderful writer and person. And this person is known around the world as the happiness guru, the happiness person, okay? I'm dead serious. I'm talking multiple number one New York Times best-selling books. I mean, lecture all over the world, big, huge crowds. Everybody hangs on their words, et cetera, okay? This person's got it all together. And their public image matches that. Every time you actually see them on camera, oh, man, they just look like they have got it all together like nobody else. And, wow, yeah, I want to do what this person says. Well, this person called me. This was probably 3 years ago. And I know them very, very well. They've been to my workshops and programs. I've been to theirs. We've had meals together, et cetera. And the person said to me, I'm known all over the world as having the solution and the secret to happiness, but what no one knows is I don't think I've ever been happy in my life, and I'm more miserable now than I've ever been, and I feel like a total hypocrite, a total fraud. Would you be willing to try to help me? Okay, which I did, all right? And 6 months later, this person was night and day different, okay? Now, I had this happen with another person, too, a couple, actually. That's not who I'm talking about. So if you heard that story a few weeks or a couple months ago, this is a different person. So I did. I helped them. I taught them about true happiness versus a pseudo or fake happiness, how to do it. Here's some tools. Start doing this. Call me, you know, in 3 days, and we'll take the next step, et cetera. And I'm thrilled to report it absolutely worked. I am unhappy to report that the person didn't change what they're teaching on the basis of that. In other words, they continue to teach what they've become famous for, which is not what made them happy. In fact, what they teach never made them happy and couldn't, okay? Why? Because it violates the spiritual laws of nature. And you can't do that and get away with it any more than you can jump out off of a big building and get away from the consequences of gravity. All right? So what are we talking about when we talk about happiness? All right. Well, let me go one place I don't typically go. In Greek, the word for blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D, and the word for happy are the same. In fact, that is, blessed is the word for happy. And that leads me in to the most famous lecture ever given about happiness. And this is at weddings, at funerals, I mean, all over the place. And so I'm going to read just a little bit of it, not much at all, just a couple lines. I'm not going to read nearly the whole thing. But listen to this. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the ones most dear to you and yourself, by the way. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are and what you have, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. All right? And this, of course, is a very famous address by Jesus 2,000 years ago. And it goes on and on. And if you want to read the rest of that, I would recommend it's Matthew 5 in the Bible, and I would read it with a good modern translation that makes it easier to understand. But what I want to emphasize here is it's obvious what Jesus is talking about is, okay, you're happy if this, you're happy if you have this, you're happy if you do this, you're happy if this goes on. It's obvious he's not talking about the same thing that most of us call happiness, right? Because when you're at the end of your rope, when you lose something valuable to you, I mean, what we would call that unhappiness. And I believe that's why the happiness industry is failing so badly, is because they're teaching you to go after things that will not make you happy long term, and to put things that will make you happy long term on the back burner. Oh yeah, that's an issue, but that's not at the top of our list. We'll worry about that later and then probably never get to it. Okay. One of the biggest issues in life is our rejection issues. I've never met a single person in my life that did not have a significant rejection issue. Most people have a bunch of them. I don't think I've ever met anyone who did not have a birth trauma that manifested itself as a rejection issue. So let me go here. This is sort of the first big step I want you to sort of grab hold of. You can't buy happiness. You can't. A recent study just released from Harvard followed 1,000 students, and it asked them, okay, what are you going to prioritize as far as being happy and successful in your life? Are you going to prioritize money, or are you going to prioritize time and the things that you value most related to time, like relationships, meaning, purpose, things like that? At the end of the study, the results were overwhelming. The students that had emphasized money, and that was the majority of them, were much, much less happy. In fact, most of them weren't happy at all. And the group that emphasized time and the priorities based on meaning, purpose, and value were happy, and it was a night and day difference. And what most people do that I've worked with over the last 35 years is, even if they say it in different words, they're prioritizing money and the things that money will buy, or things like that, like you know, having some accomplishment so that people will pat me on the back and say how great I am, and that will make me feel better about myself. Problem is that doesn't work. Feeling great about yourself comes internally, not externally. Yes, it's related to people you love and that love you, and they are external to you, but you are connected to them internally. And that's where those feelings, thoughts, actions, and behaviors come from. Okay? So here's sort of the difference. Some people try to get happiness by purchasing it in one way or another, either by money. I'll be happy if I get this new TV. I'll be happy if I get this new car. I'll be happy if I get this promotion. I'll be happy if I get this best-selling book or some accomplishment in life, all right? And those people are never happy, because when they get that thing, they realize it didn't do it for them, and now they're on to the next thing that they thought would make them happy, all right? So that's one group of people, and the vast majority that I've worked with, okay? I'm going to get happiness. Something out there, my physical or external circumstances, in some way, shape, form, or combination, are going to purchase my happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible. That has never happened, and it never will. Happy for 5 minutes, yeah. Happy for a day, a week, possibly a month, but very seldom a month, okay? Happy long-term? Never. However, the second group, you can't buy happiness, but you can give it away. Kindness, the most basic, simple, easy thing you can do in a relationship with someone else, which would include as small a thing as a smile or a gentle touch on the arm or the hand and a kind look, or words that are kind, encouraging, thankful, grateful, supportive, whatever. Kindness comes from love, creates more love, and perpetuates the cycle. Rejection comes from fear, creates more fear, and perpetuates that cycle. When you've decided, I'm going to get physical, or I'm going to control and manipulate and buy my physical and external circumstances to achieve happiness, that is fear-based. And it's going to create more fear and perpetuate the rejection, fear, rejection, fear, rejection, fear of yourself and others. Okay? When you give that end result up to God, whether I'm happy or not, focus in the present in love, not on getting, but on giving, which you can do in the most easy way of simply being kind. It is unbelievable. It's like putting your dollar in the vending machine and out comes happiness. When you give happiness, you get happiness. And I don't mean by you reap what you sow or karma or that. That is the natural law of nature. You know, you get what you give. No, not that kind of happiness. The kind of happiness that happens miraculously internally. When you give in nothing but simple, loving kindness, it stimulates more love in you. Not based on them responding right. See, that's what we think. Okay, I'll be kind to them. And then when they're kind back to me, that'll make me happy. No, not that. In fact, if you give in order to make you happy, that's not kindness at all. That's fear-based selfishness. And it may make things worse for you. Although, I've seen people start that way, and it becomes an addiction, and then they start doing it for the right reason. When you give happiness, by loving kindness without needing them to give it back to you or a pat on the back or a thank you or something else, okay? It creates more love, kindness, acceptance, identity, worth in you immediately, no matter what they do. It's magic, okay? But again, it has to be for the right reason. It has to be out of simple, loving kindness for them, not for you. In other words, the phrase, what's in it for me, doesn't apply. I'm assuming there's nothing in it for me. I'm just being kind because I've chosen to live in love as best I can in the present, and love is kind all the time, unless it's absolutely impossible. Okay, so if you want to heal those rejection issues in yourself and others, which are absolutely huge to every single person, simple loving kindness can often do that, and if it doesn't do it completely, it will at least help it tremendously. Okay? And being kind can literally change a person's sense of identity and worth, both theirs and the person who is kind to them, not expecting anything in return. It's an amazing thing. I grew up in sports, and so I've seen a lot of Super Bowls and World Series and Wimbledons and Stanley Cups and NBA Finals and all sorts of things like that. And I love that. And George and I watch those things and every once in a while go to a game and we yell and scream and have a lot of fun. And he grew up that way too. And it's an amazing thing. Virtually anyone who becomes a champion or accomplishes some great thing in life, unless it's absolutely selfishly done, and we see that sometimes too. I think of Lance Armstrong, who won 6 or 7 Tour de France's, and I don't know Lance at all, so it's probably unfair for me to speak to that. He may be an awesome, wonderful person behind the scenes, but I do know he lied about cheating for many, many years. And then when he finally did admit it, that he had cheated to win his championships, he really didn't seem to take responsibility. It was just, well, everybody does it. So I'm sorry I got caught, but I'm not really sorry I did it, and I still think I earned it and all that. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who really does it from a good place internally, okay? And none of us, that's not 100% with any of us, but a lot. It is absolutely amazing when they interview that person in depth, like the week after the championship or whatever. Almost every single time that person will say, you know what, I owe so much of this to, and then they'll say a person in their life, a mother, a father, a teacher, a friend, a mentor, a coach, but virtually every single time they will say, I would not be here without this person. And very often when they start talking about that person, they'll tear up or even cry, and they'll talk about how that person made them believe in themselves and was loving to them and kind to them and encouraging to them. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what that does with everybody, not just champions. So what I'm asking you to consider today is become someone else's champion by being lovingly kind to them for no other reason than it's what you believe is right and best, not for what they will say or do back to you. Okay. Fear and what's in it for me rejects. That's what it does, because it's survival of the fittest. And in survival of the fittest, kindness isn't even on the priority list, okay? Make sure we win. Make sure we've got food. Make sure we've got shelter. Make sure we've got everything not only that we need but that we want, okay? And there's lots and lots of rules. So if you're in a relationship with a person like that, man, they're going to have lots of spoken or unspoken rules about your behavior and what you do and don't do. And if you go against those, even if they were never explicitly talked about, they're going to become angry, irritated, frustrated, whatever, because they're going to feel like, all right, this isn't what I signed up for. I signed up for happiness. But their definition of happiness is me feeling good about me and the stuff I want in life. When Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, hey, that's not the definition of happiness. The definition of happiness, ladies and gentlemen, is love, joy, and peace internally. To me, the word joy works much better for what Jesus was talking about and what works with the spiritual laws of nature. Dr. Dan Gilbert's research out of Harvard about expectations, and many, many others. Jesus' definition is the one that fits, and it's more joy And joy, my definition of joy is I'm okay and have a positive outlook no matter whether the circumstances are what I want or not. Now, that's very different from most people's definition of happy, which is I'm getting what I want, what I need, what I most desire, etc. Well, what I'm telling you is the very act of having that definition of happiness as your goal causes you to be unhappy because it's selfish, which is fear-based and leads back to fear, which is anxiety, anger, worry, stress, etc. The act of saying I'm going to live as best I can in the present moment, and a part of that is being kind to everyone and everybody in every situation, no matter how they respond back to me or whether I get what I want and need or not. The moment you choose that and do it from that place in your heart and attitude, joy explodes. Tragically, many people never experience that because they have the wrong definition of happiness and they go about it in a way that literally prevents their true happiness from occurring. So I challenge you this week, think about this, go on a walk, a meditation, make a few notes. What's my definition of happiness? Is it me getting everything I want? Or is it win, win, win? What is love, joy, peace based, regardless of whether I get what I want or feel like I need, unless you're in a life-threatening emergency situation. That changes it. But if you're not in that, your end result has to be given up to God, to higher power, to love. Okay. Change your definition of happiness to the true one, and it can be a huge difference in your life virtually overnight. Some of you won't be able to do that if you try. You've got to clean some stuff up first, use Trilogy, memory engineering, rapid eye stress release, etc., and I believe you will be able to do that before long, meaning days, weeks, or months, not years. So try that out, and that's it for me, Johanna.
All right, Alex, that's wonderful, wonderful talk. And remember, you can always listen to these again if you go to dralexanderlloyd.com/calls. You will find them posted there as well as on the iTunes, Google Play, Podbean under Whole Life Healing. So, okay, we're going to be able to have some time now for those of you who would like to have a custom trilogy or a custom healing code to address whatever you choose. You do need to know how to do the processes. So this isn't a time for us to teach you how to do the trilogy. If you want to know how to do the trilogy, you can go to dralexanderlloyd.com/trilogy-training, and there's a free video of Alex teaching the trilogy there. What we do on these calls is I will, if you know the process, I will customize it for you, which makes it more powerful for you, of course, because it's specifically customized for you and the issue you want to address. Healing codes, if you know how to do the healing codes 1 and or the healing codes 2, you know the hand positions, you already understand how to do that, then please raise your hand by pressing star 2. Star 2 is going to raise your hand. I'll be able to unmute your line, and we can get you a custom trilogy or a custom code. So, okay. Our first caller is from Virginia. Your number, whoops, just a moment. My page is refreshing. Okay. Your number ends in 7562. 7562, your line is open.
Hi, Johanna. This is Cindy calling.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. You gave me a code several weeks ago for my father for his hearing. And
right.
He got a lot of his hearing recovered, but he still has little bit of hearing loss, and I wanted to see if getting another code might be helpful.
Oh, it's always helpful to get a fresh code. Did you want a healing code or a trilogy?
I know healing code 1 and 2. I don't know trilogy yet. I just got the manual.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly get you one. Healing codes combo, healing codes 1 and 2. Okay. Let's go ahead and test. Can you say for me, I am testing for my father?
I am testing for my father.
Okay. I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
Okay, the hearing issue.
The hearing issue.
Okay. Now, are you doing this for him or is he doing it as well?
I'm doing it for him.
Okay. Okay, first position, left hand temple, right hand Adam's apple.
Okay.
Second position, left hand high bridge, right hand below the belly button.
Okay.
Third position, left hand jaw, right hand temple.
Okay.
And the fourth position, left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge.
Got it.
And that's it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. He's doing it himself as well, but he's just doing the regular 4 code that's in the book. I think,
right,
I said, he's 85. He's 85, so I don't want to introduce a custom code because he's very happy with the general code that's in the book. But thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. So if we have any other callers, you want to press *2 on your phone. That's going to raise your hand, and I'll be able to unmute your line. And let's see if we have any. Just don't be shy. We have plenty of time for you. So *2 will raise your hand. All right. We have a caller from New York. Your number ends in 2434. 2434. Your number, your line is open.
Hello, my name is Kathleen Cavanaugh.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
And
I just started.
Would you like to...
Thank you. I just started reading the Healing Code, and and I listened to or watched the trilogy twice, so. I have a voice issue. It's diagnosed as spasmodic dystonia. So would there be a code for that?
Okay. Now, would you like a trilogy process or would you like a healing code? The trilogy has a healing code in it, but if you're not familiar with the trilogy, what we could do is get you a custom code, and then when you get more familiar with trilogy, you can insert the custom code in the second minute of the trilogy. The second minute of the trilogy is where you put the healing code. Would you like to do that?
Sure. Yes,
okay.
Please.
So regarding this condition, Kathleen, how does it make you feel as far as emotionally? Do you feel fear? Do you feel frustration? Do you feel anger? Do you feel hopelessness? What is the primary negative feeling?
I think fear and frustration.
Okay. And on a scale from 1 to 10, about how strong is that right now?
6 to 7, probably.
Okay. When you think about this type of fear and frustration, is there any other memory that comes up that reminds you of a time that had the same kind of feeling in it? Maybe not necessarily having to do with this this condition, maybe even when you were young, when you felt fear and frustration?
Yes, I can think of a time.
In that early memory, you in the early memory you just found, about how strong is that feeling when you recall it?
I was just working on this morning. I would say probably 8.
Okay, so we want to definitely heal that memory. Kathleen, are you familiar with the Relationship Issue Finder?
No.
If you go to DrAlexanderLloyd.com and look in the menu, you'll find different resources. And there's the Relationship Issue Finder, Heart Issue Finder, Success Issue Finder. Those are really good diagnostic tools to help you understand which category of the healing codes may be storing the most stress, and it can help you in your, I would recommend that you use the custom code that I'm going to give you today and go ahead and visit each of those categories. And what I mean by that is you read the description of the category and you pray that whatever is in that particular area of your heart that's negative, that is connected to this condition, that will be healed. And mostly you're going to read the descriptions. Each description usually has some negative feelings, thoughts, emotions that are connected to it. And you'll also see body systems connected to categories of love through self-control. So okay. I would say take a 12-day journey. Use the code I'm going to give you right now and address all 12 categories with the intention of healing anything that's connected to this.
Okay.
But you definitely want to include that early memory that you just found.
Okay. There's actually two.
Oh, okay. Any memories that have these kind of feelings in them. Now, when the memory heals, in other words, you think about it and you're aware of it, but it doesn't bother you that much, then ask for any other memory. So you said you already have two, so we're going to include those in the time that you do your coding, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's get your code.
Okay.
Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
Okay, the fear and frustration issue.
The fear and frustration issue.
Okay, very good. All right, first position is both hands, Adam's apple.
Okay, I'm taking notes. Okay.
The second position is left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge.
Brainstem. Okay.
The third position, you're going to reverse that. You're going to put the left hand on the high bridge and the right hand on the brainstem.
Okay. Is this for like 20 seconds each?
You could do all of them at equal time, you know, hold them for 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds. Or if we do recommend holding the healing codes two positions a bit longer.
Position two.
Like, say, for example, okay, let me give you the last position first. Okay, the last position. Okay, so there's three positions, and then the last position is both hands below the belly button, touching the body.
Okay.
Okay, so when you do this code, you can do it for 30 seconds for the first position. You can do it for 40 seconds or a bit longer, even a minute for the second position, a minute for the third position. Those are both hold healing codes two, and maybe a minute for the fourth position, if you feel comfortable doing that. We like to hold the healing codes two positions a bit longer. Now, if that's not convenient for you, just do them all an equal amount of time.
Okay. Yeah, I can do it.
And I would recommend doing that Relationship Issue Finder so you can actually identify the areas that have the most stress, and you'll most likely find that there are relationship memories issues that have that kind of stress, like this fear and frustration. the memories that are coming up and have that same feeling, you'll probably see those manifested in that diagnostic tool, the Relationship Issue Finder. It's a great tool to use to help guide us and give us a few hints of where things might be stored.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that sounds great.
Okay. God bless you, Kathleen.
For 12 days.
Yeah, I would do this for 12 days, addressing one category per day, starting with unforgiveness. So explore that category. Now, if you're reading the Healing Code book, you're going to find all of the categories in Chapter 11. If you do the Relationship Issue Finder, you're going to have some wonderful descriptions of each of the categories. You'll see your scores for the categories, but you'll also see some descriptions of that category. So you can use either the description in the book when you go through your 12 days visiting one category per day, or use your Relationship Issue Finder description of the categories.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. God bless.
Thank you. You too.
All right. So we still have time. If there's anyone else that would like a custom trilogy or a custom code, you can raise your hand by pressing *2 on your phone. *2 is going to raise your hand. And it looks like I think that's going to be it for today. It looks like we don't have any new hands raised. So I want to thank you guys, all of you, again, for participating. And those listening to the call, thank you also. We love hearing from you. So please send us any comments or suggestions on how we might make these even better for you. You can write us at feedback@thehealingcodes.com. And that's going to end our call for today. We'll see you again next week. God bless.
God bless you, everyone.